The sixth case, number 221859, Rafael Ethier et al. Versus Carlos Juan Aponte Cruz. At this time, would counsel for the appellant please introduce himself on the record to begin?
Good morning, Attorney Jose, and that is my brother representing the appellant. Chief Judge Barron, may I reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal?
You may.
Chief Judge Barron, Judge Monte Carlo, and Judge Rickleman, may please support. Appellant Carlos Aponte was a member of the Salsa Band in Gran Combo for 51 years. During that period, he performed as lead singer in over 200 sound recordings for the band. Sometime after leaving the band, he put in an informal request for recording artist royalties.
We're pretty familiar with the facts of the case, if you just want to get right to the legal argument.
Yes, Your Honor. The statutory language, the district court held that the royalties for recording artists belong to the band's owner, and our position is that they belong to the members of the band.
Is a threshold issue whether the argument you're now making to us was made below? You want to just address
the threshold argument?
There's a threshold argument as to whether the argument you're now making to us was in fact made below.
It was the argument made below. It was exactly the argument made below. The statutory language, the legislative record, and industry practice all point unequivocally to the conclusion that recording artist royalties belong to the band members. The relevant statutory language refers to the recording artist performing on a sound recording. As Amiki pointed out in her brief, Webster's dictionary defines one of the definitions of artist is a singer performing. The American Heritage Dictionary defines it as one such as an actor or singer who works in the performing arts. Now, that linkage of the word artist to performing is found in the statute repeatedly, and the Copyright Act under Section 101 provides a definition of the verb perform. It is to recite, to render, to play, to dance, or act. All of those activities are carried by natural persons. That is the purpose of a statute of Section 114G2.
Can I just ask you this one, so I understand this, just on this as on the waiver point. The magistrate judge says, the parties do not dispute that El Gran Combo is an artist.
Correct.
And is an artist that is different from Aponte. And I guess I'm just having trouble with that, how to think about that particular sentence and the way it's put. Because I understand you to be saying El Gran Combo is not an artist. Only the artists in El Gran Combo can be artists under the statute.
Well, El Gran Combo is the featured artist. What does El Gran Combo mean for purposes of the statute?
And that means only the human beings who are in El Gran Combo.
That's right, the members. Carlos, and that finding.
So a non-human being can never be an artist under the statute.
Correct. That's the, if you apply the plain meaning of the word artist, it has to be a human.
And so in that sense, if the district court, if the magistrate judge was of the view, the parties not dispute that El Gran Combo is an artist, because she then says El Gran Combo, as such, the court deems that, per the text of the statute, the band El Gran Combo may be a featured artist. She seemed to think the entity could be a featured artist. You can test, as when she says that was not disputed, that it could be. You say that it was disputed because your argument was it couldn't be, only the individual members of it could be.
That the concept of El Gran Combo as an artist is a reference to the members. What makes El Gran Combo an artist is that it has members that perform sounds, either by singing or by playing an instrument.
Your argument is a band can, of course, be an artist. But it's a band because it's made up of people.
and that's how it qualifies as an artist.
But just to be clear, when it says featured artist, the purpose of the statute is someone gets a royalty payment.
Yes.
Right? And you're saying that is only a human being. So in a sense, it's kind of a misnomer to describe the band independent of the individual artist in the band as being the artist. Right, the featured artist is just the band member.
The featured artist here is a Gran Combo. But what is a Gran Combo? Is the artist performing on the sound recording. The artists for artists are human beings. Performers are human beings. They're not abstract entities. That was the purpose of the statute, Your Honor. When it was presented to the Senate floor, Senator Orrin has said, finally, singers, writers of lyrics, etc., are going to get compensated. And it divides, if you look at how it divides the royalty pie, this becomes clear. 50% goes to the owner of the copyright over the sound recording. Mr. Pierre has acknowledged that as the band's owner, he owns or co-owns those sound recordings. Those that he doesn't own is because he must have negotiated those sound recordings with the record. So he collects from that part of the pie. The other part of the pie, yes.
In theory, you could have a copyright owner.
Correct.
You could have the members of the band, and then the members of the band could be incorporated, and the band could be a company, which does not have the copyright.
Well, okay.
You see what I'm saying?
I see where you're
going. Okay.
And that actually would help clarify this point, Your Honor. You have under the Copyright Act the concept that authorship rests initially on the author. That's Section 201. And then it has an exception for works made for hire, where it says that when you're an employer-employee relationship, the author will be the employer if whatever is being carried out is carried out within the scope of employment. Now, Section 114G2, and that's for purposes of who owns the copyright over the sound recording. Section 114G2 says, just for digital transmissions, 50% of the royalties go to the owner of the copyright over the sound recording. The other 50%, it doesn't say it goes to the author. It says it goes to the recording artist performing on the sound recording. It's making a distinction. It's aiming.
And then let me just see how that's practically what that would mean. If we had a situation, the record company has the copyright.
Right.
The band has members. Mm-hmm. The band incorporated. Okay? And let's just imagine this. And then the band, having incorporated, has contracts. And what we say is, we have five members in our band. We all work for this company, which is the name of our band. And because the lead singer's the best, or has the most leverage, they get 80% of what we do, and you other people get split the other 20%. Let's say that's the internal contract. You're saying, notwithstanding that, the way this statute works is, these royalties disregard that and go to the individual members, correct?
Yeah, I'm not the only one saying that. I'm here saying it in the brief when they bring up the example of the Beatles, saying that the Beatles incorporated as Apple Corps,
yeah.
But for purposes of these royalties, it's Ringo, John, yeah. George, and Paul.
Can I ask you a practical question? Because I understand your argument is for these particular statutory royalties, contractual arrangements don't matter. They may matter for all sorts of other things, but not these statutes.
And that's made clear by, if you read G1 and then you read G2,
right.
You see the difference there.
Yes, absolutely. So my question for you is more of a practical one. How does sound exchange determine, you know, does it just give everybody, if the band has four members, sound exchange knows who the members are and it automatically splits it 25, 25, 25, and then everybody else it considers to be a background musician or vocalist? Just practically, how does it work?
I don't know how they do it. They at the beginning, when the issue arose, they suggested that the parties submit to mediation before them to determine that question, but they filed for declaratory.
No, I just mean in the general, I'm sorry if I wasn't clear. I mean in the general situation, so you know, take the Beatles. Everybody knows who the members of the Beatles are.
I think they would split the
No, okay. I thought everybody knew.
I think we
take you too. You have Bono. Bono might get more, right?
By sound exchange.
Yeah.
I would not know the answer to that. If we also look at the differences between the featured artists and the non-featured artists, this becomes clearer still. There's no definition of non-featured artists in the statute. What the Senate report says is the background singers. Sound Exchange, the American Federation of Musicians, and AFTRA are saying, yes, that refers to session musicians and to background vocals. So if we accept that definition, because that's what the industry says the definition is, and we apply it to this case, then we have the absurd result under the district court's ruling, where a background singer hired for a one-day gig with a grand combo will forever be compensated whenever that sound recording is digitally transmitted. But Mr. Aponte, who was there for 51 years, who participated in over 200 sound recordings,
I think that the logic of it would be if
would not see a penny.
Yeah, but the logic of it would be he, unlike the session person, has whatever deal he struck with the company that he's worked with.
The session person also struck a deal with Mr. Intimidis. They are in the same situation. But this one will never see a penny for over 200, for his 200 sound recordings, but that non-feature artist will always be compensated. We think that leads to an absurd result. Finally, we have to listen to Sound Exchange, the American Federation of Musicians and the American Federation of Television and Radio Artists. They are saying, this is the way it has been done for 20 years. We have developed industry practices.
And on that point, we have an amendment to this provision in
the 2002 amendment.
Yeah, and that amendment, I assume, occurs when this long history is well known to Congress in amending the statute. I take it the amendment doesn't suggest that the way they've been doing it is wrong, right?
It got amended in 2002 after the original statute was 1995, and they realized that the record company was not paying the artist, so they introduced Sound Exchange so that artists would get paid.
And what was
sound
the record?
Has been paying the performers, not the abstract company.
And what was the record between 1995 and 2002 as to what the practice was? Or is the practice that Sound Exchange is engaged in only from 2002 on?
Well, it's engaged from, as I said, the reason was it wasn't working the way Congress wanted it to work. The record companies were getting the royalties that were supposed to give them their share to the recording artists. They were not doing it. That's why Sound Exchange was brought in.
I understand that, but in that prior, up until 2002, when it wasn't working the way you say they wanted it to work post-2002, was there anything that would indicate what the understanding was from 95 to 2002 as to what a featured artist was?
The featured artist as to being an abstract entity or being the individuals, there's no case law in this matter, Your Honor. But I think the understanding was that the artists were not being paid and therefore you need to bring this company. This company came in and it has been painted the way we are telling this court that it should be done. The actual performers on the sound recording, not the owners of that. And they say this is the way we've been doing it for 20 years. This is industry practice. Upholding the district court's decision will upend that.
And there's no way to read the 2002 amendment to make sense unless you adopt the reading of the 1995 provision that you're saying we should adopt.
Well, I think we have to read the 2000 amendment looking at how Sound Exchange implemented that.
But we're not construing that amendment, are we?
Excuse me?
We're not construing that amendment, are we?
No, what we're construing is who is the performing artist.
Right, but I take what you're saying is that given what happened in 2002, it wouldn't make sense unless you construe the provision we are construing the way you say it has to be construed.
I'm saying that, yes, sir. Okay. They're fulfilling the purpose of the amendment, Your Honor. And for that reason, we ask this court to reverse the district court.
Thank you, counsel. At this time, if counsel for the appellees would please introduce himself on the record. He has a 15-minute response.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Roberto Suero de Valle. I am counsel for appellee. May we address the court?
Yeah.
Your Honor, I was listening to the arguments raised by appellants, and we have to start out from a point specifically. And that is the fact that under 114G2D, the only entity or person entitled to receive monies is the featured artist. And the featured artist, according to legislative intent, is the attraction who has prominence. It does not go into, a ratio decidendi, stating that only humans can perform music. It goes into a specific statement that requires that whatever, whomever is the principal artist or the artist with prominence is the one that is entitled to receiving that money. If we were to read that legislation the way they intend to read it, we would eviscerate all the possible groups that could file a requirement of payment through 114D2, and that wouldn't be just because of many circumstances, specifically the one in this case. In this case, we have Don Rafael Itier, which founded El Gran Combo almost 62 years ago. And since that point on, he's been the owner of the group. He's taken every determination in the group, and everybody that has participated in that group.
He's the owner of the group. It's an incorporated entity?
Yeah, it is an incorporated
entity. Suppose it wasn't. Suppose we had an unincorporated band. What would you say happens under the statute?
He'd still be the owner, because he's the one that takes, he's still the person that would determine who is in the band, who performs in the band, and who does what, because him, in his personal capacity, would be the owner.
But what does it mean to be the, I don't understand what it means to say he's the owner.
The owner is the person who founded the group. The owner is the person who has been with
take,
the group.
Take a band, there's four people, they met in high school, they got big, they never incorporated, there's just the four of them. Who gets paid on your view?
Under that view, four people would get paid.
Why?
Four people, because those are the participants of
the entity. The entity is the featured artist, which is the band, not the four people.
Correct.
So who do you pay? They're not incorporated, there's no legal entity to pay, there's no owner of it. On your view, nobody gets paid?
You pay the person who originated the group, because that person—
The founder?
The founder.
Where does that come from?
That comes from the fact that that's the person who chose each person and told each person that you're going to be a hired employee to play in my band.
One thing is
that
on your—
And the work for hire agreements permit that.
Yeah, but one reason I'm a little skeptical of your reading is that a lot of ambiguities arise under your view that when there is an owner and incorporated entity, you pay the incorporated entity or the owner. Then when there's not, you start having to figure out what must be the founder, the one who chose them. All these things are very uncertain. The statute doesn't give us any guidance on. Whereas on the opposite view, it's very straightforward. Featured artist is always the person. They're a featured artist if they're a member of the featured entity, the band. Just like you would say in the case in which they didn't incorporate, just make that the default. And it seems very straightforward. You don't have all these ambiguities.
But it wouldn't be just, because you have only one person that has stayed in that group and has determined everything that has been done in that group for a period of 62 years. And that person, in his own capacity, is entitled to hire people.
Counsel, the issue, though, is we have to interpret the text of the statute. And the text of the statute talks about featured artist, not founder or owner or manager or selector of the members of the band. So can you explain how your interpretation is actually connected to the statutory text? Because in the situation of the unincorporated entity, you know, say U2 is not incorporated and it's just U2, they're the featured artist, you're saying what? Who is Sound Exchange supposed to pay there based on the statute?
Sound Exchange, according to legislative intent, is supposed to pay a Grand Combo, and Grand Combo is Rafael Luthier.
But I'm talking about U2 for the moment. So a U2 song is played. Who is Sound Exchange supposed to pay if there's no incorporated entity?
That depends on the internal agreements between the band members.
Where is that in the statute?
It doesn't have to be in the statute. It's something that happens, and it's a right that every owner has to reach an agreement with each of the participants in the band. And we cannot go beyond that. We have to establish what is the relationship between the musicians that are part of the band.
Where does the statute discuss contractual arrangements between the musicians? Where is that in the statute?
The statute talks about that in 114 G1 A and B, where it gives the right to a sound recording owner the right to reach an agreement with the performer to pay him royalties out of the royalties that are going to come out from the master owner. And it gives the example that if an agreement is reached with the master owner and the, say, the featured performer or the master owner and the non-featured performer, they're allowed to get monies from that. And if we use that analogy and place it over 114 G2D, we have the same result.
But they're different parts of the statute and they have different texts, and we're supposed to follow the text of the portion of the statute that we're interpreting.
Yeah, but we have the work for hire agreements that is also a constant in this business. We can't go and say CC&D versus Reed is not applicable in this case. In this case, Mr. Rafael Luthier is the owner of the group and has a contract and an employee manual signed with all the members of who constitute the Gran Combo. And the owner is himself alone. So these people have agreed not to receive any royalties because the main attraction and the person that is supposed to keep all those royalties is Rafael Luthier and more.
It may be that could be a case in which there was an agreement of some kind that could waive the statutory right. But you're not arguing, and there's nothing in the record to suggest that there is a contract that specifically says that they will not take their statutory royalties.
There it is. It says that the statement, the uncontested statements in the court's decision states that they have reached a work for hire agreement.
Yeah, but the work for hire agreement doesn't speak to their statutory royalties under this provision.
Not specifically,
right? Yeah. So in other words, even on your view, if it's unjust in this way, one solution would be they could write the contract among the band members with the owner to disclaim the statutory royalty. There'd be a question, I guess, of whether that agreement can hold up in the face of the statute, but we don't even have that situation here.
We don't have that situation here. We have a situation in which they've been receiving the royalties,
yeah,
and nobody has asked for those royalties when they were a part of the band. They only requested the royalties once they were outside that. So it's like recognition that they are acknowledging that the only person with a right to those royalties is Rafael Luthier. In fact, I differ with what Council Hernandez said before. I think that the usage and custom in the industry is completely different. If you look at SAG-AFTRA and the way they've designed their web inscription for these royalties, they specifically state, in accordance with 114D2C, that non-featured vocalist can get those royalties. They don't talk about lead singer, they don't talk about background singers. They just said, if you are not the main attraction, you can request these royalties through Sound Exchange, and if you become a member of SAG-AFTRA. In fact, some of the members of the actual members of El Gran Combo are getting the royalties. They're getting the non-featured artist royalties, like Jerry Rivas is. So it's not a fact that they're not going to get any royalties. is the fact that they're not going to get any royalties as none as a featured artist. He's going to get his 2.5 royalties under 114D, 2B, and D2C if he just proves that he was part of the group. The only thing is that he's not going to be the featured artist. The featured artist is the attraction, which is El Gran Combo, and the prominent artist and the people who go to the theaters and who go to the concerts to see. They go to see El Gran Combo. They don't go to see Charlie Aponte. Another important fact here is that Charlie Aponte filed for these royalties via Sound Exchange, arguing that he was part of the featured artist, not acknowledging that El Gran Combo was the featured artist. And he was part of that since he's a 1/14th part of that. He's supposed to get the royalties to himself. But he argued that being himself the lead singer, he was entitled to the featured artist royalty. And that's not a position that's backed up by the legislative history or the example given in the legislative history, which spoke about Diana Ross and the Supremes versus Diana Ross by herself or the Supremes by themselves.
But it doesn't really address when it says that, whether the Supremes are the entity, the incorporated entity, versus the individual, each one of the Supremes.
Yeah, it doesn't say that, but...
So can I just ask you, is the only relief being requested here a declaratory judgment?
That is correct.
And the suit is you against Aponte?
That is correct, yeah.
No, not you, but your...
my client.
And was there... Is that how these cases usually arise, as opposed to it being a suit against Sound Exchange?
Why exactly is it Aponte, the opposing party?
Because
the claim is
filed. He can't decide whether to pay the statutory royalty. That's not, he has no control of that at all. So why is he the proper defendant?
Because when he makes a claim to Sound Exchange to get paid, the Sound Exchange places those royalties under dispute and nobody gets paid.
So why isn't the right actor to be suing Sound Exchange rather than Aponte?
They're suing because they're suing El Gran Combo because Gran Combo is not going to relinquish part of those royalties to be given to Mr. Aponte. And there has to be an agreement between them in order for the royalties to be split among them. The other thing that we want to touch a point on is, Your Honor, that when Gran Combo originated, it was the idea of Rafael Itier. All the other members of Gran Combo, as we touched earlier, became part of that group, and he has always been the leader of that group. And that group has changed from lead vocalist several times. In the present, Gran Combo is doing touring throughout all the United States, and they don't have any of the original singers anymore. They are singers that substituted Mr. Aponte, and they are now singing these songs to the rest of the world. So what I mean by that is I'm making the point that when I'm talking about El Gran Combo being the main attraction, if they're not going to a theater, they're not going to a concert to go see Charlie Aponte, they're going there to go see El Gran Combo. It doesn't matter who's going to be singing the songs, because this group has instilled itself in the culture of the Hispanics to a point that it doesn't matter who's going to sing. What matters is the entity, El Gran Combo, and what's going to happen is people confide already what El Gran Combo is, and they're going to listen to the music, no matter who's the main singer or the lead singer. So the amount of songs that...
I think they might be disappointed if it was the three of us singing.
Probably, but the amount of songs, Your Honor, that Aponte sang in the group is not important. What is important is who is the main attraction, who is talked to in prominence, who is the people that they are going to see. And that's what the legislative intent had in mind when they created 114D2D. It's not a matter of whether humans sing or not. And of course, this is another thing I wanted to bring to your attention is what happens when Charlie Aponte left the Grupo El Gran Combo. When Charlie Aponte left the Grupo El Gran Combo, he was a separate artist, as he conceded he was in the lower court. And what's he gonna do with his career? He's gonna sing the 200 songs he was used to sing in El Gran Combo, and he's gonna want people to follow him to sing them again. Does Itier have some money in that? Itier was the person who built up that character, who built up the fame in that lead singer, and now he's passing off as to that.
Thank you, counsel. Would counsel for the appellant please reintroduce himself on the record? He has a 3-minute rebuttal.
It's Attorney Jose Hernandez Maragallo for appellant. Very briefly, when Brother Counsel invokes G1 and states that over there the statute says that the featured and non-featured artists will get compensated pursuant to the contract, to their contracts, they seem to be acknowledging that for G1 purposes, that those terms are referring to the actual human beings. Now, what did Congress do with G2? It followed a different rule. It said, 50% will go to the copyright owner, and 45% to the featured artist, and 5% to the non-featured artist. Oh, but featured artist under G2 is not referring to actual human beings, or G1, it is. That makes absolutely no sense. Also, you stole my joke, I was gonna say that, of course, if it matters who the lead singer is, if they name me the lead singer, no one will show up to a Gran Combo concert.
It's better that your joke was about you than us.
Maybe some will show up out of curiosity, but not what would be expected. But also, though, I think the work for hire principle where he says, and Chief Judge Barron, you're exactly correct, whatever contract there is, it's an employer's manual from 2011. Carlos Aponte was there since 1973, but it has no provision waiving these royalties. And the whole concept of work for hire makes this abundantly clear. If for ownership purposes of the Copyright Act provided that in an employee-employer relationship, the employer is the author, but instead in 112G2, it speaks about the performing artist, it doesn't use the word author. I think Congress is showing a difference. Congress means to compensate the actual human beings who produce, who created those sounds that we will endure. So we ask that this court reverse the district court.
Thank you.